Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church. We're glad you have joined us for this online worship experience. We also have a live Zoom worship experience at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus that you can access every Sunday morning at 10:30. So check them out next Sunday and then pop on over and join us in worship. For now, let us join our hearts and minds together in praise to God. Family, let us begin this time of prayer with a few moments of silence. Gracious God, in whom we live, and move and have our being. We give thanks to you for the wonders of creation, for the chill in the weather, for the freshness of the air after a rain, for the majesty of the snow on the mountains. And in this season of giving thanks, we are grateful for the many blessings you have poured down upon us, blessings of food and shelter, of friends and family, of work and service. Oh God, we know that we have earned none of these gifts. We have received them freely through your abundant love and your amazing grace, the grace that calls us unto you and bids us simply to love you more and more each day. Help us to cling to that love, oh God, on those days when it's just tough to get out of bed, when we don't want to turn on the news, when it seems like this pandemic will never end. Oh God, allow your grace to overcome us and overwhelm us, and grant us the peace that can only come from you. We lift up those among us who are in need of healing, of mind, body, and spirit, May your holy presence be upon them, comforting them and bringing forth wholeness. And may we continue to be vessels of your love and your grace each and every day as we seek to do good in this world. And now let us join our hearts and minds together as we pray the prayer that your Son, Jesus, our Christ, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespassers, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We have a number of announcements for you this week and a number of ways in which you can serve and take part in the missions and ministry of Hollywood United Methodist Church. These include, but are not limited to, it's that time of year when we start collecting our Advent devotionals. So if you'd like to write a devotional for Advent, please email Reverend Kathy at hollywoodumc.org and let her know that you would be prepared to write a devotional for Advent for us. On Saturday of this past week, we had a couple of hours handing out our compassion bears. I still have some left, so if you would like some to dress and love up and give back to children living with HIV and AIDS, please email me, RevDenise at hollywoodumc.org, and let me know, and I will figure out how to get them to you. And lastly, a big ask for Thanksgiving. We are hoping to feed between 700 and 1,000 people through our campus on Thanksgiving Day. That obviously requires a large number of volunteers, and I'm reaching out to you to step up and help. You can come from 9 to 12 or from 12 to 3 and help us feed, pack the food, give out the food, give out clothing packs, and help keep the place tidy. It's a great way to serve. And I also have opportunities to pack up clothing on November 19th from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the parlor at church. We will be suitably socially distanced and make sure that everybody is safe. We want to use the donated clothes that we already have that are sitting in the closet not being used right now to give to the people who really need them in these difficult times. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you. And everything we do at Hollywood United Methodist Church is made possible by you, by your prayers, your presence, your service, your witness, your gifts, and your financial gifts. So there is some different ways you can give now on the screen in front of you, and you can even just take a picture of that code with your phone and it will take you automatically to where you need to go to give a donation. Thank you, family. Love and blessings to you all.
Right. A reading from the book of Ephesians. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rules of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will. That is how it works in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever it felt good, whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everybody else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to the life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has showed us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. The salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possess. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Nope. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for those good things to be the way that we live our lives. These are words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today we are continuing our sermon series, Three Simple Rules, guidelines from our founder, John Wesley, which help us apply our faith in our everyday lives. Last week, Rev Kathy spoke about do no harm, and next week she will conclude with the last of the three, stay in love with God. Today we will cover the middle, do good. During the 1700s in England, John Wesley travelled all over the country, preaching outdoors, in the streets, in the fields, and at the mouths of coal mines. He spoke to crowds of up to 20,000 people at a time, and many of them became Christians because of his work. The cultural elite of society at that time and the leaders of the well-established Church of England were not happy with him at all because he was contradicting the existing order of things, changing the narrative, and really rocking the boat in which they currently held all the power. Today, the very movement started by John Wesley continues to change lives in every country on earth. Wesley realized that once people gave their lives to Christ, they needed structure, they needed discipline. They needed a tangible way to live out their new faith, and so Wesley organized his converts into groups called societies, which met every week for instruction and prayer. He gave these societies a set of real-world guidelines to help them apply their faith in their everyday lives, and he called these the General Rules of the United Societies, and they basically boil down to the three simple guidelines we are currently exploring: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. In our scripture today, we heard part of what is believed to be a letter from Paul to the Ephesians. Paul tells us very clearly that grace comes to us from God as a gift through our Savior Jesus Christ. We are transformed by this gift, and it is completely free. But we are called to respond appropriately. This passage tells us all we are not, and all we should not be or do, but also tells us who we are, and because of who we are as Christians, who we ought to be. We are created for good works through a freely given gift. What this means is that we need to respond by not rushing around frantically trying to save ourselves by ostentatiously and grandiosely throwing largesse at all we encounter, but instead to live out the lives God intended for us by doing good works instinctively and in a manner which shows the world exactly who and whose we are. Good works should be an expression of Christ alive in us, ministering to the world. They are demonstrations of our present reality and the future we strive for. But what did Wesley really mean by do good? It seems such an obvious thing, particularly in our call as Christians. Wesley expanded the phrase further. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Phew! Now it doesn't sound so simple, does it? It's so much easier to love lovable people. But what about those you don't agree with, who you feel don't deserve it, to those who cause you or the people you love harm? And why are we doing good? What's our motivation? Are we motivated by something deeper than what are they going to do for me? The intention behind what we are doing or saying is what matters. If we do it without love in our hearts, is it even doing any good at all? This is the agape love which the Bible speaks about, the kind of love for which we need God. As God's children, we are exercising and displaying God's love for the world and all of creation. It's the kind of love we hear about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. It doesn't mean doing or saying what is right, but rather requires work and intentionality. Love is the highest law and the most difficult path. We can only do it if we work also at staying in love with God. But we'll talk more about that next week. Let's go back to John Wesley for a moment. He wasn't popular with the Church of England because of the work he was doing, going to where the people were. And that meant he became a threat to the church order. He was often attacked, beaten, and run out of town. One time when he was having dinner with friends, an angry mob appeared at the door. He and the people he was with prayed. As the windows were smashed and the mob grew angrier and angrier, they sat at the table and prayed. And then when it got to fever pitch, John got up from the table, went outside and faced them, asking them what wrongs he had done to them. They repeated to him the lies being told to them by the church, that the God he preached about wasn't for them, that they were the poor outcasts of society who God had put aside because of their sins. John responded by telling them that he preached about God's love and was there to improve their lives. He told them each one of them was a child of God and each one had the opportunity to become a great soul. They've responded by saying he was thinking above his station and railed against his words, until one person stood out and said, "Let him speak." Wesley's response was, "I know some of you have been paid to be here tonight, but you are being used, and how long will they use you for? I have come to break you free from all that. The church doesn't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that God's grace is for you all too. You are created equal. Your sins won't make you burn in hell. You are as much a child of God as the gentry or the vicar. God is waiting for you to give him your hearts, and if you would but do that, you will all be saved." After a short silence, the lead rebel rouser responded with, "I came here to kill you tonight, Wesley, but now I will spend my life protecting yours." Wesley pushed back against the oppressive systems of his time and did good by making sure that each and every person he encountered knew they too were a beloved child of God and that their life had value and purpose. His type of doing good was to work at exposing the oppressive structures of the time and working to create a new order in which all who had been excluded were welcomed and had a place. This reminded me so much of the scene in Les Misérables between Jean Valjean and the bishop Monsieur Bienvenu, which, by the way, means welcome in French. After receiving hospitality and care as a guest in the bishop's home, Valjean repays the kindness by stealing the Monseigneur's silver. The bishop's response is a lens through which to see and understand all that follows. It's a scene about mercy and second chances. In our times too, we live in a world where we see sorrows and indignities all around us, and they can seem overwhelming at times. Les Misérables remind us that, like Valjean's, ours is a world in desperate need of second chances, of merciful giving without requiring return. Caring for how the world turns out and working like Wesley did towards changing those systems which cause so much harm to so many leads to thoughtful action, even in the smallest of things or interactions. Our midweek snack group gathered last evening to talk about this scripture passage and the theme of do good. We had a great conversation, and I give them much credit for inspiration and fruitful discussion which led us all to this conclusion. As a people of relationship, whose lives are founded on their relationship with God, we need to work so much harder on our relationships with those people who it is hard for us to love. This grace we have been freely given is ours to freely give to all of God's beloved children. We live in a world right now which is full of division, with hate-filled language and seemingly impossible barriers between the thems and the us's. How do we start doing good to these relationships, to start taking down these barriers? We talked last night about the power of stories, the power in listening to other people tell their stories, and the healing which can come about as a result of that. Our narratives define who we are, and when we sit across the table from someone and look into their eyes, seeing reflected back to us a beloved child of God, listening deeply as they share their stories, that amazing gift of grace begins its work. Perceptions are changed. We stop judging at face value, and we start to understand how they became who they are, what made them and shaped them, what formed them, and what they have faced in their lives. When we know these things, it becomes much harder to judge them and put them on trial. Instead, we find ourselves loving them, wanting what is best for them, and wanting to work hard at breaking down the systems which have caused them pain and hardship and brought them to the place they are at now. The greatest gift you can give anyone is to extend that free grace to them, to spend some time with them, listening to them, learning about them, hearing their stories, and working out what actions you should take to do good for them and the many others like them. And we get to do this because of that amazing gift of grace so freely given to each and every one of us by God through Jesus. Amen.